This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Okay, inshallah, we are going to carry on briefly an overview of the life of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And today we're going to start off with the Battle of Khandaq, or the Battle of Ahzab, the Battle of the Confederate, or the Battle of the Trenches. This took place in the fifth year of Hijrah. And in this battle, all the enemies of the Muslims gathered to fight the Muslims. So they all united, the Jews, the Mushrikeen, and everybody else who disliked the Muslims, they united and they marched to Medina. There were over 10,000 in number, and Abu Sufyan, who was the main general of this army, was saying that this will be the final battle. After this day, the Muslims will never stand. Now, Abu Sufyan was the main general, but the person who was in charge of all the cavalry of this battle was no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Now, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he divided the cavalry into small groups. And for a number of days, he was the one who managed to keep the Muslims very preoccupied. They say regarding Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, لا ينام ولا ينيم. Wouldn't sleep and wouldn't allow anybody else to go to sleep. Meaning that Khalid bin Walid was always mutaharrik. You know, he was always busy. And you can imagine he's in charge of all the cavalry. They've dug the trench and now he's trying to keep the Muslims very, very busy. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu managed to actually find a narrow part of the trench, and he managed to go over the trench with his horses. So it takes 200 Muslim archers to repel Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. In this time, in this occasion, this was the occasion where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed his Dhuhr Salah, his Asr Salah, his Maghrib Salah, and his Isha Salah. He missed all these Salahs because Khalid bin Walid kept the Muslims so preoccupied that they were repelling Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Eventually, by the end of the day, they managed to repel Khalid bin Walid and he went back over the trench. Now this is subhanAllah, this is amazing. Why? Because this is also the occasion where there was a famine going on, where the Muslims hadn't eaten for days, where you got an army on the other side which is more than three times your number. The Muslims were 3,000 in number, the Mushrikeen were over 10,000 in number, and the 3,000 Muslims, 1,000 out of the 3,000 Muslims were Munafiqeen. So really you only had true 2,000 Muslims fighting an army over 10,000. So how, you know, five times their number and the Muslims are fighting this army. So they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst they're digging the trench, and they say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, we've come to this trench, but there's a boulder in the trench that we can't break. It's too hard. And what was the state of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they came to him? When they came to him, they removed their garments and they had a stone tied to their stomach. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed his garment, he had two stones tied to his blessed stomach. So in this state, they say to the Messenger of Allah, we've got this rock, we can't break it, can you come and break it for us? And he's over 50 years old at the time. So the Messenger of Allah comes, he takes a pickaxe and he strikes it. And there's a huge spark, and the Messenger of Allah says, Allahu Akbar. And a third of it breaks. Then he takes a pickaxe again and he strikes it a second time. Huge spark, Allahu Akbar. And another third breaks. And then the third time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strikes it and it breaks into small pieces. So the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, what was the Allahu Akbar about? What was that spark about? The Messenger of Allah said, when I struck it the first time, Allah showed me through that spark that a day would come that we would take the palaces of Yemen. Yemen was south. When I struck it the second time, Allah showed me through the spark that a day would come that we would take the palaces of the Byzantines, the Eastern Romans, whose capital was Constantinople, Istanbul. And when I struck it the third time, Allah showed me that a day would come that we would take the palace of the superpower of the day. Who were the superpower of the day? The Persians, the White Palace in Mada'in, in Iraq. The Munafiqeen began to say, look at this man. He's promising them that they will become a superpower. And one of us is scared to go to toilet outside. One of us is scared to go and relieve himself outside. And he's promising them that they will become a superpower. Now, this is the beautiful thing about this. Why? On the other side of the trench, who do you have in charge of the cavalry? Khalid bin Walid. Made them miss the Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Salah. They must be cursing Khalid at that very moment that this guy has made us miss the Salah. But the man who brings the Persians and the Byzantines to their knees, the real man who was really instrumental in this, was no other than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So the day the Messenger of Allah gave the glad tidings was the day that Khalid was on the other side of the trench. He was the enemy. But this was the man who really brought down the Romans and the Persians. And this is, subhanAllah, ajeeb, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, blessed Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, that later on, that this enemy of Islam at that time, from aduwullah, he became the saifullah. He became the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the enemy of Allah, he became the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. After this, we have also the occasion of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Now, what was this? Basically, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a dream that he's doing Umrah. So he said, I saw a dream that we are entering Masjid al-Haram peacefully. So the Sahaba get very excited when they hear about this dream. They said, oh, Messenger of Allah, let's go for Umrah. So 1400 Sahaba get ready, they wear the ihram, they don't really take any real weapons with them, and they go with the sole intention of doing what? Doing Umrah. Obviously, when the mushrikeen hear about this, they say, over our dead bodies, there is no way that we are gonna allow you, the Muslims, to enter Makkah and perform Umrah. So who do they send? They send Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu with a cavalry, which army, you know, they were like laden to their teeth with weapons. The Muslims really didn't take any weapons with them, with the intention of intercepting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they come. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I saw the Muslims and they were praying this salah. And I thought to myself that the next salah they pray, I will attack them. So what happens in the next salah? They pray Salatul Khawf, subhanAllah. So Salatul Khawf is where a part of the army prays the salah and the rest of the army faces the enemies just to protect them. This is known as Salatul Khawf, the prayer of fear. So they pray, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is waiting to attack the Muslims. But he doesn't get the opportunity. Why? Because now half of the army is actually facing him. And Salatul Khawf, one of the reasons Salatul Khawf was introduced, because no Muslim wanted to miss Salah behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Imam would lead the prayer. So if they were praying four rakats, and there's different methods of praying Salatul Khawf according to the fuqaha, so two rakats would be prayed by the first group, and then they would go and face the enemy, and then the other two rakats would be prayed by the other two, and then they would face the enemy, and then they would finish off their prayer. But because every Sahabi wanted to pray Salah behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they could see the faces of the enemies, but they didn't want to forgo praying Salah behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Salatul Khawf. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says, he said, when I saw this, it came to my mind that this man is protected from Allah. I had this firm intention of attacking him. And what happens? They pray Salatul Khawf. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now said, is there anybody of you who can take us down a path which we will be able to outmaneuver Khalid bin Walid? So a certain path which Khalid doesn't realize, and then we will enter the haram. Once you enter the haram, even according to mushrikeen, it was not permitted to fight. So this is what happens. All of a sudden the Muslims leave. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is not really ready. He doesn't understand. Muslims take a route before Khalid bin Walid realizes, before he can actually attack them, they enter the haram and they are safe from him. So again, see, Khandaq Khalid, Uhud Khalid, here Hudaybiyah Khalid, the main guy who's opposing the Muslims was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Then on this occasion, the Muslims didn't do Umrah, but they drew up a treaty with the Mushrikeen that they would come next year and they would do Umrah. This is known as Umratul Qadwa. So this was their treaty. And then they also had a treaty that for 10 years they wouldn't fight with each other. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says that when they made this treaty with the Muslims, he was very upset. He was in a state of turmoil. He said, I was thinking to myself, let me leave and go to Abyssinia. He says, I didn't really want to go to Abyssinia because Najashi had embraced Islam, and also there were Muslims residing in Abyssinia. So Abyssinia, says, I thought, no. Then I thought, let me go to the Roman lands or the Persian lands. But he said, then if I go to the Roman or Persian lands, I would have to embrace Christianity or one of their religions, and I would have to live under non-Arabs. So he said, I would have to live under non-Arabs. And he said, I wasn't even ready to do that. So he's in a real turmoil. So he's thinking about this. So what happens? Next year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Makkah to perform the Umratul Qadha. And Khalid bin Walid is so upset about this, he says, look, I'm leaving Makkah, I'm not staying in Makkah, because Muhammad is in Makkah and I am in Makkah, I cannot tolerate that. Both of us cannot stay in Makkah. So the Messenger of Allah, imagine this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes now into Makkah, and he looks around, and he doesn't see Khalid bin Walid. So he says, where's Khalid? And they said, oh, Messenger of Allah, he's left. You being in Makkah and him being in Makkah, the place is too small for both of you. He can't tolerate the fact that you're in Makkah and he will be in Makkah at the same time. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, intelligent man like Khalid, doesn't he realize that there is no God but Allah and I am his messenger? He said, how can an intelligent man like Khalid not realize? And then the Messenger of Allah said something ajeeb. He said, if Khalid came to us and he embraced Islam, we would give him position. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah understood the status of Khalid. He understood that this man was unique. The Messenger of Allah saw people's ability. Wallahi, you cannot find one Sahabi who can say to you that the Messenger of Allah did not use us for what we were best at. He would see and he would look at a person and he would ascertain what that person needed. So some people would come to him and they say, Messenger of Allah, what is the best action? He would say, jihad. Another person, he would say, what is the best action? He would say, be good to your parents. Other person would come and say, what is the best action? He would say, pray salah on its time. Why? One sawal and you have different answers. What's the reason for this? Because the Messenger of Allah ascertained from people, this is what he needs. He doesn't obey his parents. Obey your parents, best action for you. This person delays his salah. He prays his salah at the end of time, or he makes it qadha. Best action is salah upon its time. So similarly here, the Messenger of Allah realized that Khalid, this man was a talent. Only problem was, he was on the wrong side of the fence, or the wrong side of the trench. And we needed to bring him over here. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this. They do their Umrah, they go back. Khalid's brother, Walid ibn Walid, was a Muslim. Not only was he a Muslim, he was actually a part of the group of Muslims who came to do Umrah. He was captured on the Battle of Badr. And then Khalid came and they gave him, paid his ransom, took him back. Then he left the Mushrikeen and he joined the Muslims and he embraced Islam. He stayed for a little while with the Muslims and he was so impressed by the Muslims and the lives of the Muslims and the love and the shafqa and the muhabba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he left and he joined the Muslim ranks. Now, Walid ibn Walid is a Muslim, and the Messenger of Allah asked Walid ibn Walid, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "Go on out. Yeah, you're going to stay here, not when you're here." So then Walid ibn Walid goes back to Medina and he sends a letter to his brother Khalid. So he says, "In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful." He says, "I am astonished the fact that you have not recognized the truth of Islam, although there is no comparison for your intelligence." He's saying to his brother, "You know, there's nobody who's intelligent like you. You're exceptionally intelligent, but how comes you cannot see the truth? How is it? How is a religion of truth like Islam still hidden to you?" The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked me, "Where is Khalid?" I replied to him, "Allah will bring him." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "How can a man like Khalid remain ignorant of Islam? If he assisted the Muslims against the disbelievers and the polytheists, this would be far better for him. We would appreciate him and give him station above others." Why? Because he was a man exceptionally intelligent. "Oh my brother, those moments of your life you have wasted, make up for them immediately. You have indeed missed many occasions of importance." So now, these words, his brother sends a letter to Khalid ibn Walid. Khalid ibn Walid opens it. Imagine, Khalid ibn Walid is opening it and he's thinking, you know, he's going to get this acrimonious rebuke. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "What a guy, you know, this kafir, this mushrik. How comes we come to Medina, Makkah, he leaves Makkah, you know, he tries to kill us on so many occasions." No, the Messenger of Allah was worried about the man. He's worried that an intelligent man like this, if he embraced Islam, what benefit it would be for the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If he comes to us, we'll give him station." So he reads this and he says, "The fact that the Messenger of Allah remembered me made me desire Islam even more." Also, look, these words came through what? A letter. But the sincerity of the words of the Messenger of Allah was so strong that Khalid ibn Walid could feel them even through the letter. So now Khalid begins to think. And then he sees this dream. He sees that he's on this barren land, in this barren land, and he crosses this barren land to this beautiful green pastures. Now he takes the ta'bir out, he asks people, and they say that this means that you're going to change your path from something which is narrow to something which is good. What was he on? He was on shirk. What was the green pasture? That was Islam. So now, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu begins to ponder. And then he begins to talk to people about it. So he goes to Safwan ibn Umayyah, who was his brother-in-law and his very close friend. And he says to him, "Don't you see our state?" He said, "The way things are going, Muhammad will conquer everything. If we join him, it is honor for us. If we don't, then we're opposing our own man." So Safwan ibn Umayyah says, "By Allah, if this man was the last man on the face of the earth," who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "I would still not embrace his religion. If there was no other man on the face of this earth, I would still not embrace his religion." So Khalid says, "I thought to myself, you know, this man, he's lost quite a few family members against the Muslims in the Battle of Badr. Therefore, that's why he has this intense hate for the Muslims and for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So then he goes to Ikrama. Now, who is Ikrama? Ikrama is his best friend, but he's also his nephew. So he goes to Ikrimah and he says to Ikrimah, he said, we know that this man is not a magician. We know he's not a sorcerer. You know, and any intelligent person would incline towards the religion of Islam. So Ikrimah says, he says that, I am really shocked by your words. Are you actually abandoning the religion of your forefathers? He said, you, O Khalid. He said, Khalid, you lost so many family members fighting against the Muslims. I am shocked that you're actually even contemplating this. And then he says to him, he said, if you do not abandon this, you know, thought about embracing Islam, I will stop speaking to you from now on. So then what Ikrimah does, he goes to Abu Sufyan. And he tells Abu Sufyan that it looks like that this guy may be thinking about embracing Islam. So Abu Sufyan goes to him with Ikrimah and he says, you know, what's this? We hear that you're thinking about embracing Islam. And he says, I believe that the truth has come to me. So if the truth has come to me, why should I ignore it? So Abu Sufyan says to him, if you're thinking about embracing Islam, your consequences will be dire. And then they begin to argue and then Ikrimah intervenes. So now Khalid is thinking about this. And eventually Khalid radiallahu anhu decides to leave Mecca. So he goes to Medina. On the way, he meets Amr ibn al-As. Him and Amr ibn al-As were friends anyway. And Amr ibn al-As, as we've mentioned before, was a very intelligent individual. So he reaches and he narrates himself. He says, I descended from the mount and I walked towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, the Messenger of Allah was looking down like this. And then he raised his head and he saw me and he smiled. He smiled. Look at this, subhanAllah. Who is he smiling towards? He's smiling towards that man who was the cause of the death of 70 Sahaba, Radwanullah Jama'een, in the Battle of Uhud. He was the cause of his uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu being killed and body being mutilated. The Messenger of Allah could have said, oh Khalid, you, same guy on Uhud, when every time you struck a Muslim, you said, Ana Abu Sulaiman. Oh Khalid, you, the same guy on Khandaq, you were out there to kill me especially. On Hudaybiyah, you were at the forefront with the intention of killing me. On every single occasion, oh Khalid, it was you at the forefront. The Messenger of Allah said, nothing. Khalid says, the Messenger of Allah smiled. And he carried on smiling. And he said, I walked towards him until I placed my hand in his blessed hand. The Messenger of Allah did not stop smiling. When he embraced Islam, Amr ibn al-As embraced Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, today Makkah has thrown away its liver. Why? Because these two were the cream of the crop. You didn't get better than these two. Intelligence. You heard about the intelligence of Amr ibn al-As, and inshallah later on, we will speak all the way, inshallah, Allah willing, all the way to the life of Ali ibn Talib. You will see the intelligence of Amr ibn As. And we know the intelligence of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. So the Messenger of Allah said, these two, the best youth of Quraysh have embraced Islam. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu said, and Amr ibn As also said, they said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua for us that Allah forgives us because we have fought against Islam and the truth many times. The Messenger of Allah said that Islam eradicates all those evil sins which were performed before it. So this was the life of Khalid bin Walid and how Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu embraced Islam. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of Khalid bin Walid, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make in this ummah many of those who have the same desire like Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and fikr like Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had for this ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us leaders who are inspirational, who carry the flag of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah keep us united in the dunya and reunite us in Jannah for those. Barakallahu feekum. Zakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Zakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.